Our study this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to chapter 4, verse 5, our accountability to God in church functions. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision that Paul received from God as he ministered in Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. This epistle is timely for us who face our own decadent culture today. So we view 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 4, 5, where Paul taught our need to have a sense of accountability to God in church functions. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the ministry of the word. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have of being able to meet like this with liberty. We ask that we would take advantage of it this morning by relying on the Spirit of God who authored Scripture, who illumines Scripture to us, and then he empowers us to live the Word of God as we rely on him by faith. We ask, Father, that we would utilize each one of these ministries of the Spirit of God, and that to the full, to understand and to use this text this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 4 or 5. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in reference to this world, let him become as a fool, that he may be indeed wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Well, having discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, the believer's accountability to God for his ministry at Christ's judgment seat, Paul gave a warning of accountability to those who lead in church functions in verses 16 to 23. First, Paul asserted that the local church body of believers is a temple of God inhabited by God the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, in another passage, Paul says that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, speaking of Christians. But in another sense, the church, the local church gathered of believers, is itself the temple of God. So if you're in leadership, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a deacon, whether you're an elder, whether you're in some sort of leadership capacity within the church, you have to be careful. You have to recognize that the church is composed of people who are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. So it's positionally, it's holy. Experientially, may not be so, but positionally, it's holy. Accordingly, if a church leader destroys that local church temple by way of his ministry, him God will destroy, for God's temple is holy. So we have to be really, really careful that we don't destroy the temple of God. Now, this destruction can occur several ways. It can occur through unbiblical teaching. That's one reason. one way, and it can lead be hurt by actions by a leader who presents himself as being wise in reference to the world's wisdom. For Paul warned that one should not deceive himself in thinking that he is wise in this world's wisdom, that he should rather become, as it were, a fool in the world's eyes, that he might become spiritually wise. It's very, very important, if we're in leadership, especially in a teaching capacity, to make sure that we're not giving human viewpoint. There's a lot of that going on in churches today where a pastor will start off, he'll put maybe a Bible verse up on a website or on a screen and start off, and then he goes from there off into human wisdom. What the people need to hear is God's word. And the only thing that a minister should be doing is expounding the word of God itself, because what happens is God's word is what disciples. And you need to get the God's word connected with the minds of God's people, and then wonderful things happen at that point. So all a minister does, all a teacher does, is just introduce the word of God to the people of God. That's it. That's all the job is. And you're not trying to impart your own wisdom. So it's very, very important. In fact, the world's wisdom is folly with God. And Paul noted that in citing Job 5:13 in verse 19, where he says, he that taketh the wise in their own craftiness. That's right out of Job 5:13. And then when he quotes in verse 20, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That's right out of Psalm 94:11. So Paul's just quoting scripture to back this up. So leaders need to be real, real careful. We are accountable to God. I am accountable to God, and I have to be very, very careful. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit if you know Christ as your Savior. And I have to be very, very careful to treat the temple of God, which is holy, with the Word of God. But also, Paul then warned that those who sat under the ministries of human servants of the Lord for their need to have a sense of cautious accountability to God in their views and in their treatments of those leaders. So what's good for the goose, they say, is good for the gander. I have to be very careful, and we as leaders of the church have to be very careful how we treat the church. But as a church, you have to be very careful how you treat their leaders, because the leaders also are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The apostle directed that those who sat under the ministries of himself, Paulus and Peter, regard such men as huperetes. Now, I know it's the translated servants in chapter 4, verse 1. Actually, it's translated ministers of Christ, but this is a very unique word. Huperetes, servants, it has an emphasis on subordination, because the word originally meant an under-rower in a trireme, a ship with three banks of oars. The Romans and the Greeks also had ships that instead of being moved by sailing, they moved, especially in the military, they moved by way of oarsmen. And there were three levels of oars. There was a low, a middle deck, and then an upper deck. And you had oars coming out on all three decks. And they could get that boat to move, really move through the water, especially a military boat, with these under rowers. So Paul says we are under rowers. We're slaves of God rowing the boat of God. So these under-rowers of God's ship were stewards of God's formerly unrevealed truths or mysteries. That's what a mystery is, something that hadn't been revealed before but is now revealed in the New Testament. And they were required of the Lord to be faithful in dispensing those truths to others. Just as the rower, who is a slave in a boat, and he's under the command of Roman soldiers, Roman centurion and others, and he has to abide by the regulations and the ruling of his masters, so those who are ministering the word of God, and even the apostles themselves, were slaves. They were under rowers from God. For this reason, Paul added that he considered it a small thing that he would be judged by his hearers or by any court for his ministry, for he was accountable actually only to God. There's a companion verse in Romans 14:4 that says, "Why do you judge another man's slave? Don't you know that slave answers to his master? It doesn't answer to you." And that's what happens, is those who are ministering the word of God, especially pastors and other teachers, they are accountable to the Lord for what they're doing. And Boy, I tell you, the Lord makes it really known. If you're starting to flub up somewhere, he'll at my level, he rings a big gong in my right ear, and it shakes the whole body up. And that's what he wants. He wants us to review ourselves as slaves. Paul stated that he was not aware of any wrong that he was doing in his ministry, but that his lack of such awareness did not excuse him of any wrong, for God was his ultimate judge. And that's true. I've often wondered, what's God going to do when I get to heaven? How is he going to evaluate me, especially having been a pastor here for 41 years? What's he going to think? Well, he should be communicating himself to me. If I'm not on the line, he will. In fact, he does. The Apostle Paul concluded that his readers should not pronounce a judgment of human opinion about a leader prior to the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord returns. Now, I want to clarify that. If a leader or a pastor does something that is obviously sin, obviously he has to be dealt with. And there are pastors that have fallen into obvious sins, and that has to be dealt with in a public way in order to preserve the church. But just giving a personal opinion, maybe they don't like the way he combs his hair or ties his tie or something like that. I mean, that's human opinion, and we need to be away from that. So we should not pronounce a judgment of human opinion about a leader prior to the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord returns. For Christ will bring to light the things that are hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Let me say something here. It's interesting, over the years we've had new men come on our church board of deacons. And almost every single time a new man comes on the board and we start talking about some of the confidential stuff that we've got, their eyes get big and they go, whoa, I didn't know this was going on, or whoa. And it kind of blows them away, because there's a lot more in leadership that we just don't obviously disclose because of, you know, there are certain situations that are going on. So leaders are thinking at a different level many times and different depths in what the congregation is thinking. We're doing that a lot of times to protect the congregation, to preserve the congregation, to keep peace and everything, but there's a lot that's going on. So you got to be really careful about judging leaders. There's a lot that's going on in their minds that you may not even be aware of. And someday Christ is going to bring to light the things that are hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Now at that time, God will graciously reward each leader for what good he has done in serving the Lord. The vast majority of leaders don't try to do something that is automatically wrong. Especially in a church, it's not in your best interests to do that. You're serving the Lord because you want to serve the Lord. So generally there are very good motives. Sometimes leaders have to learn how to present themselves better or to take greater wisdom in regards to how they do certain things, but nevertheless, the motives are generally quite good. But God's going to judge the motives at the judgment seat of Christ. So the lesson is, leaders of God's people in the local church need to sense their cautious accountability to the Lord for their need to be humble and to uphold the wisdom of God in their lives and their teaching. And those who sit under such leaders also need to sense their cautious accountability to the Lord in relating to these leaders, and view them as subordinates of God, responsible to him to be faithful in dispensing God's truths in their lives and in their ministries. So in application, may we realize that each one of us in the local church, leaders and subordinates alike, will give an account to the Lord for our own actions in the local church, that we thus be careful to do and to say what is biblically accurate and edifying to one another for the glory of God, and not for the glory of men. Very, very important. Years ago, I was in a youth group in my home church in California, Chico, California, and our teacher at the time in the youth group, there was a couple that a husband and wife team that teamed up and taught the youth group, and the woman happened to be leading it at that time, and she decided to start off the service This is, and the youth group in the Baptist church always met before the evening service. That's when we met. And she started off by saying, we want to handle a subject today, and the subject is, and the question is this, can we face a temptation that is far too great for us to handle? And so we have no alternative but to yield to it. And I was amazed that she brought that up, because ever since I was a kid, I've been taught we're supposed to overcome temptation. And so I raised my hand, and I said, well, we're supposed to avoid sin. In fact, 1 John chapter 1, 2, verse 1 says, these things have I written unto you, that ye sin not. So I said, by relying on the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to have victory over the sin. Well, right away, there was a girl who was the daughter of this lady who was teaching us. She was sitting off to my right. And she said, Don, but you don't understand. There are some temptations that are just too great, and the devil is just too strong, and I can't handle it. Well, there was another girl who was sitting behind me and said, don't let her push you around. And I knew that there was a rift between this girl over to my right and girl off to my left. I didn't know what in the world was going on. Well, at the time, the Lord brought a memory verse to my mind. We had memorized a key verse for each book of the Bible when I was in Africa at the Christian school, and the key verse for 1 Corinthians was 1 Corinthians 10:13. So I started citing it. I said, well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And I looked back at the lady who was teaching it. She looked aghast. She was just kind of wiped away. And then she suddenly changed the subject and went on to something else. And I thought, well, that's strange. But then I got to thinking later, she had brought up this point because this was a burden that her daughter had. And I think they were trying to present it. Little did we know that that daughter ended up being very immoral. And I had no knowledge at the time that that was actually the case. But the mother is trying to sanctify her daughter in front of the youth group. And the other girls disrespected this daughter because they knew she was immoral. I was in the dark. But thankfully, I had a Bible verse. And the Bible verse put a kibosh on the whole thing. And it just brought it to light. And I saw at that particular time how the Lord was leading. And what he wanted me to do is stay with his word. And if you stay with the word of God, then even if you run into a hornet's nest like that, God will get his truth out, and he'll be able to protect you and provide for you. And that was preparatory for the pastor. I had no idea I was going to be a pastor someday, but I found out, man, that's really neat, where the word of God just cuts like a hot knife through butter. It goes right to the quick and deals with the whole issue. And those of us who are leaders need to be reminded of the fact that we have an accountability to minister the word of God. And because ultimately the one who's involved in discipling the church is the Lord. It's not us. The Bible says go out and make disciples of all nations. We really don't do that. As messengers, we share the message, but God's the one who's doing the discipling. And that's the way we need to keep it in mind. Okay, we'll open up the time for questions and answers. If you had a question or a comment in regards to the lesson itself, you can deal with that. If you want to go into another direction, if there's something else that's come up, feel free to.